now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
The 8% who have no desire of the 25,000 participants to get vaccinated, and that represents about 2,300 people who under these new regulations will find themselves not in adherence with this regulation.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Always great to catch up with RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart. Good morning, Matty G. There's plenty of news from Stephen King becoming a trainer, Enther not going to run in the Moya, and the Herald Sun's reporting that Craig Williams has confirmed himself as the rider for Spanish Mission in the Melbourne Cup, and I'm assuming the Caulfield Cup. We'll try and have a chat to Willow this morning. So plenty of news around this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly, Willow, who was... We'll start off with Zaki. Willow was out at Sandown this morning, and we'll play a little grab from Annabelle Neesham too. So Willow was out at Sandown this morning for a gallop with Zaki, and here's Annabelle Neesham.
He went out there this morning. He travelled down Sunday night. He's staying at Nick Ryan's. He got there yesterday. So I just wanted to give him a... He's raced left-handed numerous times in Europe, but just wanted him to have a hit out going left-handed just to remind him. And it was good to give Craig Williams a feel of him as well. Willow was happy with him. He said he was quite spooky and having a good look around, which doesn't surprise me. He's the sort of horse that always does the work with his ears pricked. Doesn't need to put a whole lot of effort into what he does. But he said he gave him a good feel. His action was great. And obviously they got their toe in there this morning a bit. I gather there's some rain down there, so that won't have done him any harm either. I'm excited. Obviously, I don't know how the field's going to shape up, but, you know, he's still quite wintry in the coat. It's starting to come. But, you know, with each run, he's going to improve, you know, and the Cox Plate's still very much our grand final, but I'd be still expecting a big performance on Saturday. If I was to go, you know, you can work reverse way up here at Warwick Farm, but they have a look at the TAB board and there's a crossing down the back straight and you can't really work them as well going reverse way. So I was obviously glad to be able to do that with him today, but I didn't want to work him with a mate because I didn't want him to do too much. He's had a truck drive down. He's naturally a very fit horse and he had a nice piece of work here on Friday. So today was just, more about just getting him out and about before Saturday. And I think, you know, hopefully that's done the job.
Mwanga's back in Sydney?
Mwanga, he's back in Sydney and, he's at this stage heading towards the Epsom.
Well, there you go. It sounded like it was a good dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's to give him a look at Sandown today, this morning, and the track was wet. He had a bit of a look around and I think Annabelle was really happy, Michael, that she did do that this morning to give him a little look around.
Absolutely. She sounds confident. I've just had a look at the market. Even with the news yesterday that Probabil's now going to back up in the Underwood, he's $1.40, Zaki, in the Underwood Stakes on Saturday. So Dragon A's also entered. We'll have a chat to Dave Eustace a little later this morning. But that's getting into rarefied territory. $1.40 in the Underwood on Saturday. And Annabelle said that his form in the UK says he goes better the Melbourne way than what he's shown in Sydney. So if he goes anywhere better than what he's done, it's going to be an awesome display on Saturday. And it looks like Sandown with the sting out will suit him perfectly as well.
May not suit Probabil. That's the little shame about that. Mm. Is a terrific measure of how well Zaki's going would be if he was to comprehensively knock off Probabil in conditions that suited her as well. So it might be interesting if we do get a bit more rain, whether the Probabil assignment is 100% as well. If it's a soft seven, do they want to charge her around against Zaki in those conditions? So I guess we'll find out a little bit later in the week. But yeah, $1.40. It's going to be great to see him at Sandown too. Big open spaces of Sandown, and that little hit out this morning was really worthwhile. And Mwanga's back in Sydney. He's going for the Epsom, and then she'll decide after that whether that means back down for the Cox Plate. Who knows? But he's back in Sydney for the Epsom.
Yeah, that's not surprising. They were toying with the idea of bringing Moorunga down for the Turnbull, but the Epsom, now that there's no Ayrton, and the Golden Eagle also is starting to fall away a bit compared to what it may have looked like. So the Turnbull's going to be a lot stronger contest. If they make the decision, very elegant, to come down here, it's going to be a hell of a lot stronger race than what the Epsom or the Golden Eagle will be for Moorunga. Matty, we've been talking for a while about getting the news out, getting the promotion in the racing industry out about getting vaccinated. And yesterday, racing.com, in consultation with Racing Victoria, released a little ad, which has been good to see on social media. Here's a snippet of it, fronted by the voice of Victorian racing, Matty Hill.
A day at the races was something that we all cherished. To hear the roar of the crowd when I ride a winner, that's why I got the jab.
I've been vaccinated because I want to get my life back.
This spring, a must-have at the races and at track work is your COVID vaccination pass.
I got the jab so I can go back to Adelaide and compete in races back home.
We want to again experience the roar of the crowd on race day, to socialise with family and friends and cheer on the favourite when it storms to victory.
I got the jab so I can go overseas and see my family.
Now it's time for you to do your part and get vaccinated, because we all have the responsibility to make this shot count.
I got the jab so I can celebrate with my brothers and sisters. Oh wait, I don't have any sisters.
So protect yourself, your family, your community and the sport you love by getting vaccinated, so we can all enjoy getting back to a day at the races.
A little bit of humour from Kieran Maher there as well, referring to the slip-up he made after, I think it was Sir Dragonet in the Cox Plate last year.
It was.
Yeah, terrific. Exactly spot on message, exactly as we envisaged. Maybe we envisaged this may have occurred a few weeks ago. But I'm not saying better late than never, but certainly the right message, the right ad, and as we race towards 80% vaccinations.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Good to see. Just an update on Maskew. Jason, from the highs of the win at Caulfield, and he's had a mishap yesterday and spent the night in hospital.
He did, and he's going to be released today. A bit of concussion, and he'll be stood down for 12 days, but generally pretty good news for Jason Maskew. So that's terrific there. Story on whether or not there was what was more to lose than to gain with Jamie Carr appealing to the Supreme Court over the false and misleading evidence. We got an enormous feedback to that story on rsn.net.au and through Facebook with 259 comments. And interestingly, and I think encouragingly too, that most of them were overwhelmingly saying, yep, if you believe in this, Jamie, if you feel that they have misrepresented your honesty and integrity, then off you go to the Supreme Court, and good on you. That's probably about a ratio of 8 to 10. There were others, you know, along the lines of, she's a roles model, you've done the time, do the crime. Others, though, were sort of highlighting the wider issue with COVID and lockdown and frustration as well. One person said it was a silly mistake during a crisis never seen before, so it was in some sense forgivable. And another one saying that the penalty summed up this authoritarian era that we're in Australia, and that it was she was paying the price for that mentality. So mostly supportive through social media of Jamie Carr's decision to appeal to the Supreme Court.
It'll be interesting to see what the timeline is. I know Damien Shields, who's representing Jamie Carr, is hopeful that there won't be that much of a backlog in the Supreme Court, so it may well be heard within the next couple of months. But there will be no recourse for any, if it is upheld, their appeal, for any financial, I suppose, damages. It will be simply to try and reduce the time and clear her name from the allegation that she was not truthful in that hearing. So it'll be interesting to see when that timeline is actually set down, because they can also, if the timeline of that Supreme Court hearing is going to be later than when she is due to resume riding, ask for a stay so that she could ride while that Supreme Court action is pending.
The timeline's the thing that was stuck in my mind. I agree with the sentiment of all the feedback about, you know, clearing your name and all that sort of stuff. But the only thing was whether it dragged on and the Supreme Court didn't hear it for 6 months, and then suddenly she comes back and she's still got to deal with that, whether that mentally is going to be worse for her than or better. So that was the question that I was posing yesterday. Interesting situation with the Tassie jockeys as well. There is a meeting tomorrow. With my understanding is that there will be a meeting tomorrow between Tas Racing and the senior jockey group, who eight of them stood themselves down at Devonport on Sunday because of concerns more about one of the two apprentice jockeys who were starting their careers at Devonport. One of them actually rode a winner, Taya Stalker. But there is going to be some sort of meeting, some sort of sense of assurance that the jockeys will be riding with a new set of guidelines and protocols at Devonport at the next meeting on Sunday. But a bit of feedback I've had from one or two officials and others about this unusual situation in Tasmania where, and I did speak to the Jockeys Association, he said they do believe that it is also the case in West Australia and South Australia, but not in any other states, where the senior cohort is sort of canvassed about the suitability of newcomers to start off their careers. And just a little bit of feedback I've had is sort of suggesting that it's a weird situation when you need the approval of those you're riding against rather than the system itself to determine if you're suitable to ride. It just lends itself to all sorts of potential issues there that you can imagine with personality differences or agendas or all that sort of stuff. The situation in Victoria is that it's a two-man jockey coaching group, Elf Matthews and... Ah, just slips my mind who the other one is. It'll come to me in a second. But there's two of them here that suss out the young jockeys to work out their suitability. So just an unusual...
It's not Darren Gouchy, is it?
And the Gouch. Sorry, it is the Gouch, yeah. An unusual situation in Tassie that probably some people don't think is quite suitable. So we'll learn more tomorrow when they the jockeys, the seniors, meet with Taz Racing.
Well, that's certainly an interesting story in regards to that. Hey, just a couple of quick ones before we go, because we're going to have a chat to Craig Williams, who has just secured the mount on Spanish Mission, which is great. Everest Crowd 5000 has been given the tick in New South Wales when they hit 70% vaccination, which is interesting. They wanted 15,000, but they've been given the green light for 5,000, which is on the 16th of October, which is actually Caulfield Cup Day. And unfortunately, Caulfield will be empty on that day, as will Moonee Valley on Cox Plate Day. And just another quick one, just going back to that, do you remember the Norm Loy story we spoke about a couple of weeks ago? He got disqualified for 3 months for having a tirade on Facebook against Gladys Berejiklian, and Racing New South Wales have disqualified him for that 3 months. Now, Damien Shields is taking that case on pro bono. Racing New South Wales have engaged a barrister called Brett Walker, who is apparently the most highly sought silk in the country and charges $25,000 a day. So that gives you some indication as to the seriousness that Racing New South Wales are taking this case.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not afraid to hire a top silk. Just one comment from a former apprentice, a Tassie apprentice, on the Tassie Jockeys thing too about the situation we're referring to. He said it took him 6 months of trials before he got his license to ride on race day. And he said now 3 months, he said that's just basically unsafe. Hey, there's an interesting story from the US of a jockey who has been fined $10,000 and given 10 years in the sin bin for being caught out using a jigger in a race at Monmouth Park. And the interesting thing about this is that Monmouth Park is one of the few jurisdictions in America where it's whipping free. And it just makes you wonder about the desperation that some jockeys may use in a whipping-free environment. This guy's a multiple offender. There's been other issues at Monmouth Park since they introduced this whipping-free thing. Not jiggers, but breaches of the rules and so on. So it might be not a window into what the situation might look here, but you would hope that in a whipping-free situation that some jockeys don't use the desperate measures that were used by this guy. By the name of Magia. His surname is Magia, Thomas Magia. So he's got 10 years and $10,000. The previous jockey did the same thing in 2015, copped a $100,000 fine in the US. So quite remarkable, the situation over there. Della Sands going to the Epsom, Mwanga the Epsom as well, as Annabelle Neeson mentioned. Ben Curry's had his application to train knocked back, but he's going to appeal it. So bit of news up there in Queensland as well.
Excellent. Maddie, we'll read all about it, rsn.net.au. We'll